This is the OTB Television Network, a service of Capital District Off-Track Betting.
Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
Good morning and welcome to Racing Across America on this Saturday morning. I'm Seth Merrow. Thanks for joining us. Appreciate your tuning in on a wet morning here in the Capital District. The roads were a little slick last night. I was out and actually hit a couple of ice spots. So hopefully everybody that did go out last night got home safely. Temperature was a little warmer this morning, though, but there was still some moisture on the roads. But otherwise, I think we're in for an okay day today. Certainly racing-wise, there's some nice racing across the country. We will talk about that throughout the morning. We'll have Ron Nicoletti on in a while. They have some nice stakes action down at Gulfstream. In the form of Sugar Swirl, My Charmer Rampart, the Fort Lauderdale, the Harlan's Holiday. We'll talk about those stakes with Ron a little bit later. And then Dave Grenig will join us. Nice New York Stallion. I mean, on the New York bred side of things, all the two-year-olds, I think you would want to show up. Essentially, some of them have run over the past couple of weeks, but I think there's otherwise a pretty good display of two-year-old talent in the New York Stallion race this afternoon. So we'll talk a little bit about that with Dave, but I also wanted to go back to last weekend, get some of his thoughts on Cigar Mile weekend. So we'll do that with Dave Grenig, the New York correspondent for the Daily Racing Forum. Do want to remind you that today there's an online Winabet contest. Make sure you go to the website and take your shot there. See if you can pull down a little extra dough in the day. The Winabet contest online, go to capitalotb.com for more information. Also remember that Tourney Bets link via CapitalOTB.com. Do want to keep reminding you of that. If you haven't tried it yet, play some of the contest action. There are different format contests. There are different price points. The most attractive price point being free. You can try some free contests. And I always say the contests are fun because they make you think a little bit differently and maybe shop for a little bit of value. And you just have to approach things in a way that I think freshens up your handicapping. So try that. The Tourney Bets link at CapitalOTB.com. Finally, I want to remind you tomorrow, it's dwindling down. There are only a few weeks left, but NFL Sundays continue here at the Clubhouse Racebook. Every Sunday during the NFL season, you can watch all the games here, catch all the racing action. Clubhouse Racebook for football and horse racing on Sundays, 7-Eleven Central Avenue in Albany. All right, wanted to hit on some news and notes. The finalists for the George Wolf Memorial Jockey Award were announced in the George Wolf Award. It's kind of coveted by the jockeys because it's voted on by their peers. Other jockeys vote for this award. It is handed out to a jockey in recognition of personal achievements and professional achievements and personal character. And certainly some prominent names have been winners of the George Wolf Memorial Jockey Award over the past years. And again, another very fine cast of finalists. Javier Castellano, New York-based. So we're familiar with Javier, obviously. Tyler Bays, Chris Amey, James Grand, and Luis Quinones. Certainly, as I say, we're familiar with Javier Castellano, a Hall of Famer. What Eclipse, I'm reading some of the bio info. Eclipse, four times Eclipse champion jockey. He's won 12 Breeders' Cup races, et cetera, et cetera. Tyler Bays, I was kind of amazed. He's 37 years old. I kind of remember when he got into the game. The bio information noted, in 2000, he was named the Eclipse champion apprentice jockey. So that was 19 years ago. as I say, I kind of remember when he got into the game, and it seems like it was just yesterday, but it was a while ago, obviously. And then the other three jocks as well. Wish them all good luck, and they're all deserving of the honor. But only one will be named, and that will be announced, the winner announced in February. And then in the springtime, typically there's a ceremony out at Santa Anita where the winner is presented with his trophy, I think it is a trophy. But again, Castellano, New York-based, among the five finalists for the George Wolfe Memorial Jockey Award. The Aqueduct Fall Meet wrapped up, and again, they continue on. It's just a little bit of a technicality, the Fall Meet and the Winter Meet, because they're still at Aqueduct. But the 25-day Fall Meet did end last Sunday. Chad Brown, Irad Ortiz, the top trainer and top jockey, and there was a tie for owner. Drawing Away Stable came up with a couple of wins on closing day to Ty Klarovich. So there were your meet leaders for that. Again, kind of abbreviated. Abbreviated would indicate that it has been squeezed in some fashion. It hasn't. It's just that short fall meet, 25-day meet. Chad Brown, fourth consecutive New York Racing Association title, going back to Belmont spring and summer. Then he won up at Saratoga, won the Belmont Fall Crown, and this fall Aqueduct Crown, too. So congratulations to a local native, Chad Brown. Irad Ortiz, his 16th riding title at an individual meet. There was that article, was it right after or right before the Breeders' Cup, where he and his agent were kind of discussing, I guess Irad felt just on a day-to-day basis he wasn't doing quite as well as he wanted to, and the agent said, wait, I think we have some good mounts in the Breeders' Cup, and let's see what happens there. And then he has a great Breeders' Cup weekend. And again, I guess the day-to-day stuff has sorted itself out as he comes up again with the riding title at Aqueduct, and now down in Florida shooting for that title. Down, I think he had the title last year down at Gulfstream, but shooting for it this season. So now we're underway. The Aqueduct Winter Meet runs from last Thursday through Sunday, March 29th. There'll be 45 stakes total, so lots of great action over the winter. And again, we'll hit on some of that also with Dave Grenig as well when we have him on a little bit later on. Fall meet, boy, the fall meet handle, crazy. And it just goes to show how much weather plays into this game. If you remember last fall, it seemed like maybe it went right to the end of Saratoga and kind of overlapped. And then the fall at Belmont and into Aqueduct, it was just rough weather last year. And so lost a lot of turf racing. And that clearly affected things because the handle, the all sources handle for Aqueduct's fall meet was up 49.6%. I mean, 50% handle jump. Now, there were 25 racing days as compared to 22. There were 233 races as compared to 198. So the number of days in races makes a big difference there. But go down and parse, and again, this was a Dave Grenig article too, parse out just the turf races. Aqueduct this year ran 86 turf races with only 22 off the grass. 86 turf races this fall at Aqueduct as compared to 31 last year. 22 this year came off the grass, 51 last year came off the grass. Average field size 8.43 this year as compared to 7.2. And the field size of that Aqueduct meet was notable. So you had good fields, you had turf racing, you had some extra days of racing and certainly some extra races. And just, boy, that handle just ballooned up. Handle on Cigar Mile Day was up 45% as well as compared to last year. So it was a phenomenal fall, clearly, for the New York Racing Association and Aqueduct. Pulled up an article on the Blood Horse. Been watching the Great Barrington, you know, with Suffolk closing, there was the talk of Great Barrington maybe opening back up, which would be fun. It was fair racing for a while, and they would do some thoroughbred racing over there. The folks who ran Suffolk were looking at Great Barrington as an alternative, and it's been discussed. And if you've watched through Equidaily, I've watched and connected to articles, local articles, in some of the Massachusetts newspapers and whatnot. There is a back and forth there amongst the locals and whatnot. We'll see. I think it'd be fun. It would certainly an easy driving distance for us, and where they put their racing schedule, I think, might make it fun for people here in upstate to have an alternative venue to Saratoga in the summer to maybe catch some live thoroughbred racing. But again, the locals, it's kind of back and forth, and they've now, the locals have petitioned. And I'm not quite sure of the technicalities of this, but a petition that in some fashion will now move on to state legislators, and essentially they want to vote on any plans to return racing to Great Barrington. It says that a special town meeting in Great Barrington, 150 voters turned out. At a local town meeting, that's pretty good. 10 people spoke, according to the Blood Horse article. Only two of them spoke in support of thoroughbred racing. So there was clearly some opposition. To me, it seems like, I guess if you're a local, people, particularly if they had fair racing there for years, it's already been a racetrack at some point, but now it's a defunct racetrack. But they've complained about, you know, traffic and just change. And obviously with things that have gone on at Santa Anita this year, you have animal rights people jumping in as well. But it seems like I don't think they're looking at a large number of dates there. So you would think Great Barrington would look at this as a positive, an economic kind of driver potentially for the area. But it seems like some of the locals are negative on it. It hasn't been decided one way or the other. But this seems like maybe puts another little roadblock in the way for return of racing to Great Barrington. But again, we'll keep our eyes on it and see how it progresses. Just wanted to mention again, we'll talk the Gulfstream Stakes with Ron Nicoletti. We'll talk the New York Stake today and go back last week with Dave Grenig. But wanted to mention some of the other stakes action around the country today. Down in Tampa, a couple of Florida Sire Stakes. Excuse me. I wouldn't say either of them are super exciting, but they're both in the early pick five. And the third race, Florida Sires, again, third race is three-year-old fillies going 7 furlongs. It's a short field of 6. And again, neither one of these necessarily have anybody who's really jumping out at you. But I think they both offer a couple of nice duos to focus on. In the third race at Tampa, Wildwood Beauty comes out of a win in the Sunshine Millions Distaff at Calder Gulfstream Park West with a nice buyer number. But Kathleen O'Connell brings in a very lightly raced JP's Delight. 2 for 2 so far. 2 really good-looking wins so far. And six-horse field right in the midst of that early pick 5 begins a pick 4, does this third race. And so what do you do? I use both of those, or do you make a stand with one or the other and go a little bit deeper in some of the other legs? But I think we're looking at, 6-5 and 3-2 on the morning line. Again, it's a short field. I think JP's Delight, being lightly raced, has maybe some upside to be a nice and special horse. Wildwood's Beauty, already a stakes winner. So it's a fun race, as I say, without any absolute superstar, but a potential battle between two horses that look to have some nice talent. And that's kind of the similar situation in the fifth race, another Sire Stakes race at Tampa today. Again, only a field of 6, but Jackson and Well Defined both look like serious players in here, but they both come out of real duds in their last race. So this is one where I think you can make the argument, I'll go in another direction. Maybe go for the Averill Racing, our Mercedes boy, coming out of a better most recent race. But Well Defined and Jackson, both stakes quality performers, both with solid buyer numbers underneath, but they both tossed in clunkers last time. Now, Well Defined tried to turf, and so that just may be a failed turf experiment. And Jackson the horse stumbled, the jockey lost the iron. So again, there's an excuse. So you would think they both get back to better numbers, but as I say, you could also make the argument that maybe I'll fool around in there and take a little shot at a horse with maybe some more value in my pick place. Out at Los Al, the Soviet problem, it's two-year-old fillies, Calbreds. Been studying her. Looks like the one you're probably going to have to get through when a state-bred stakes race over at Santa Anita last time under Mike Smith. Graydon Van Dyke will be on board today. Goes out for Jerry Hollendorfer with a three-win record in four starts so far. So Ben studying her again in a 10-horse field at this point, 10 entered. Probably the one to beat. Smiling Shirley has a little bit of talent too, but has been behind the favorite. Been studying her in the last couple of starts. Woodbine, two-year-olds in the display. It's only a 5-horse field, but notable because there are three Ontario breds in here. So potentially some Queen's Plate entrants could come out of here. Elusive Knight at even money on the morning line for Sittard. Looks interesting off a couple of nice starts so far. But Mark Cassius, finalist also. Finalist is a Florida bred, so that one wouldn't go onto the Queen's Plate. Elusive Knight, however, is an Ontario bred, along with a couple others. So if one of those Ontario breds runs nicely, one to put on the list to watch as the Queen's Plate trail gets underway. And I did want to mention, the display is the stakes race today at Woodbine. Tomorrow at Woodbine, it's closing day at Woodbine tomorrow. Tomorrow at Woodbine, 16 races. They get out, they load the card tomorrow. And I looked up before we went on the air, 16 races at Woodbine. Race 1 tomorrow at Woodbine kicks off at 1:05. Race 16, 8:38. So settle in for Woodbine tomorrow. 16 races north of the border. But that's okay because we will have thoroughbred racing tomorrow night. So we'll have the entire Woodbine card, obviously, available to you. But also Remington tomorrow. And I wanted to mention because the Springboard Mile, nice little, a rich late-season two-year-old race that in recent, fairly recent years has produced some runners to kind of keep our eyes on the Derby trail. And I think the potential is there tomorrow as well. Again, this is tomorrow night, 8:19 Central Time, so it'll be a little after, quarter after 9, 20 after 9 our time. Tomorrow night at Remington, they're race 12. Springboard Mile, $400,000 for two-year-olds. Notably in here, Shoplifted, who I thought might be interested in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. Was not, a well-beaten seventh in there. But entered in this race for Steve Asmussen, who I think is vying for the training title out there at Remington as their meet wraps up. Maximiliano for Wesley Ward could be interesting, coming out of a win over at Keeneland. Rowdy Yates is another Asmussen runner, won a couple of stakes coming into this out at Remington. Jungle Runner won the Clever Trevor, which I think is essentially a prep race for this, so that one's interesting. Answer In for Bob LaPenta, Matticat, and Brad Cox, coming out of a maiden breaker over at Churchill, could also be interesting. So a field of 12 tomorrow. Nice two-year-olds in the Remington Springboard Mile. We'll talk probably a little more about that tomorrow as well. But again, we'll have great thoroughbred racing tomorrow night, and that will include that Remington Park Springboard Mile. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, Ron Nicoletti will jump into the nice stakes action at Gulfstream Park right after this. Stay tuned.
Wagering on horse racing just got a lot easier at Capital OTB. With our newly designed, state-of-the-art mobile wagering site, everything you need is right here on one easy-to-navigate mobile platform. Set your favorite tracks, pick your horses, place your bets, all with a simple tap of the screen. Plus, you'll have access to Capital OTB TV for all our network programming. So log on to CapitalOTBBet.com and see just how easy wagering on horse racing can be.
to Albany County, an incredible destination to live, work, and play, with easy connections to more than a dozen cities from our vibrant modern airport. It's a short trip downtown to a hive of culture and amusement, from world-class shows at the newly renovated Times Union Center to reliving the past at the New York State Museum. From outdoor recreation to shopping to nightlife, Albany County has something for everyone. We'll see you soon.
Here's some exciting news from Capital OTB. Capital Off Track Betting and the Rivers Casino have partnered to bring you the finest experience in wagering on all your favorite thoroughbred and harness tracks from right inside the casino. Our newest location is open daily and can be found at Vance Flicks Bar, offering live tellers, self-serve betting terminals, racing information kiosks, and all the amenities you've come to expect from Capital OTB. See you at the Rivers Casino in Schenectady.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. As promised before the break, we are joined now by Ron Nicoletti from Gulfstream Park. Ron, good morning.
Good morning, Seth. How are you today?
Very good. Happy to have you on board, and we'll talk a little stakes action this afternoon. Wanted to go back, though, last week. I was in here doing the afternoon programming Saturday and Sunday. Nice way to kick off the championship meets, become kind of a tradition. Claiming Crown Day is always kind of fun. The war horses of the business get a big day. But then what has really been fun for the past couple of seasons, that Caribbean Classic. Man, the flags and the pageantry, and you can just tell the enthusiasm down there for that Caribbean Classic makes it a lot of fun.
Yeah, and everybody seems to love that day, and including the jockeys, trainers, the owners, everybody seems to be warping it up. It was a really fun weekend. That's the first time we did them back-to-back last night, the Saturday and the Sunday, and it was just wild. And the Claiming Crown was a great day, record day. You know, people were betting with two fists, so it turned out to be a really nice weekend. The weather was perfect.
Yeah, as I say, it's fun to watch because you can see the enthusiasm just on the simulcast signal. I also wanted to tip my cap to you. I sent you a text the other day. I don't every day during the afternoon, every day I don't get to see the long shot of the play video come in. But one day I was watching it, your long shot of the play pre-race commentary came through, and so did your long shot. It was a nice, I want to say, 8 or 9 to 1, a nice little long shot play. And that is, if folks go to the website every day, not only do you have the video that leads into the race with your long shot, but I believe if they go and pull up your sheet on the website, the long shot each day is labeled there too, right?
Yeah, definitely. It's usually in there, best bet and the long shot each day. So, you just go to GulfstreamPark.com, and they're available along with Acacia and Jason Selection. So you got a smorgasbord of selections on the website.
I like it. All right, let's jump in. We'll go in chronological order here, looking at the stakes action this afternoon. Let's start with the sixth race, the Sugar Swirl. I pulled up the race from OBS, the OBS Philly and Mayor Sprint Stake from the end of November. Number 12, A Bit of Both, is going to be the winner here. It's Jason Service, it's Michael Dubb and company, coming off of a nice win, again on the synthetic, up at Ocala. That one looks very good with Paco Lopez on board, who's riding very well down there. Blazing Betsy is interesting to me also, with Irod Ortiz coming off a win up at Indiana Grand. Kathleen O'Connell has Stormy Embrace. Pretty Greeley could be a little bit intriguing. Ladies Island, interesting with Jaramillo on board. What are your thoughts on the Sugar Swirl?
Well, I did go with the three, A Bit of Both. He's going for a third consecutive victory. Just showed that last one. That was on the synthetic surface up at Ocala. Jason Service, Paco Lopez going for the hat trick today. But you got Ladies Island. It's going back to the dirt. He followed, was unbelievable up in Saratoga when she went that front-running victory. And then she goes 5 furlongs on the turf. So I'm afraid maybe these two get hooked up, even though I picked them once too, and it sets up those. Somebody like the horse you mentioned, Stormy Embrace, turn it back to 3/4. Multiple grade 2 winner on this track. Kind of in the catbird seat behind the speed, but I don't know about 6 furlongs. That was a little bit of a concern for me. She might want to go 7, but Stormy Embrace may end up sending the perfect trip in that race.
Yeah, and Stormy Embrace picks up Luis Saez on board, and that can't be a bad thing down there at Gulfstream. It seems like Saez and Paco Lopez both riding well over the early part of the meet.
Right, definitely both of them, and MSCL Jaramillo right in there with them. So they're all riding good, and it just looks like over the first few days at the meet, or at least over the last week, it, Gulfstream used to be very easy to just go speed, and now it's been stalkers, closers, with the track being pretty fast, so if you're like a closer, you don't throw them out like you might have done in the past at Gulfstream Park.
All right, let's move on to the My Charmer, race number 7 this afternoon. Phillies and Mares going a mile on the grass. For this one, I pulled up an allowance event from Aqueduct, November 16th. It's going to be Altea getting it done. It's Chad Brown, a filly on the grass, coming off of a nice win. Was in stakes company earlier in the career. The last few races have been an allowance company. But again, this race from Aqueduct seems to indicate she's going back to top form right now. Irod Ortiz on board. But Bill Mott has Mitchell Road in here. Last race, the first lady up at Keeneland certainly threw in a little bit of a clunker, but there is some back talent here. George Navarro has Picarara. I think there's a couple others interested. Munchkin Money for Christophe Clement with Castellano on board. But your thoughts on the My Charmer?
Well, the most intriguing thing in the My Charmer is that that's the only race of the day that's not graded, and it's probably the most best race on the card, so it lost its grading. It'll probably get it back. I did go with Mitchell Road just on the class relief when she returned. You know, she failed to offer her best, as you mentioned. She stalked, she flattened out behind. That was behind the Breeders' Cup, mile winner in there, Uni, then the first lady that you were alluding to. Bit of a clunker, Jose Ortiz. I just think this one bounces back. I'll see her on the ticket for the reasons you mentioned. And Munchkin Money, a perfect 2-for-2 on the Gulfstream Park turf course. Cutting back to a mile, been training well. She merits the spot on that horse for course angle.
All right, Rampart is race number 8. The Rampart is a grade 3 event. Phillies and Mares 3-year-olds and up going the one-turn mile. And in this one, I went to an allowance optional claimer at Churchill back on November 17th. Molto Bella is going to be the winner, going to be the number 3 horse here. Earlier on the program, on the network, we did our handicapping show. My colleague Brian Netto had this one labeled as one of his best plays of the day, Molto Bello. So I wanted to show that off the win at Churchill last time. But again, it's a nice full field where there are probably 3 or 4 you can kind of point at as on a best effort, get right in the thick of things here. Your thoughts on the Rampart?
I went with an 8-1 shot on top, and that's Pink Sands, who's stretching at the most. Runs well at the mile, 4 starts to win, a couple of seconds in the third. Rallied late to finish the third in that race up at Aqueduct, the Pumpkin Pie. That race turned out to be a really key race, produced a trio of next out winners. More importantly, I think this one's just a nice trip for Shug McGee. So Pink Sands, a little bit of a price. The story in the race, I believe, is Cookie Dough. Back in the Stanley Gold Bond, been working up the storm, and Paco Lopez rides the Arundel Speed, that might go to the front and not look back. So I went for Pink Sands, 11 Cookie Dough in the 8-2-80.
All right, and we'll move on now to the Fort Lauderdale Grade 2 event. Couple $100,000 up for grabs as they will go 9 furlongs on the turf. In this one, I pulled up the Bowling Green. Now, this is going back a little bit on the resume for Channel Cat. This was early in the Saratoga meet. Channel Cat is going to be the number 10 horse here. Took him all the way around. Subsequently ran 3rd in the Sword Dancer, 4th in the Turf Classic, and 7th in the Breeders' Cup Turf. But all of those were with triple-digit buyer numbers. That's kind of what jumped off the page at me. But Flavius for Chad Brown is in here in the second start from Europe. Instilled Regard, another Chad Brown runner, certainly has the opportunity in here. Admission Office for Brian Lynch is very dangerous to me as well, coming out of a close-up 3rd in a stake at Churchill last time. What do you think of the Fort Lauderdale?
Yeah, I did go with Admission Office, who's debuting locally after rallying to finish 3rd, was beaten at half length. That was in the 9-furlong Grade 3 River City Handicap at Churchill. I think this is the horse to beat in there, trained by Brian Lynch. And get the pace needed to compliment. He's got a patient style, but certainly can win on this turf course running like that. Yeah. Channel Cat, I didn't know what to do. Mile and all those races, mile and a half, that you mentioned. This is 9 furlongs. Certainly fast enough. It has won at 9 furlongs, but I'm a little concerned about the distance being too short.
Yeah, as I say, that front-running score up at Saratoga may lead you to think, oh, well, maybe the shorter distance will be okay, get out in front. And but that was a little bit of an aberration for him, that Bowling Green, where he went out in front, took him all the way around. He's usually not that forwardly placed, so it'll be interesting to see what John Velasquez does with Channel Cat this afternoon in the Fort Lauderdale. Let's move on to the Harlan's Holiday Grade 3 event. $100,000 up for grabs, mile and a 16th. And in the Harlan's Holiday, I pulled up, this was, boy, just a phenomenal performance. Gulfstream Park West back on November 20th. Bodie Express, the number 6 horse, gets it done. Triple-digit buyer. This is a horse that clearly they had some high hopes for early in the career. Ran second behind Maximum Security in the Florida Derby. And then they tried the Kentucky Derby. Ran 14th there. Unseated the jockey in the Preakness. That was all as a maiden. Came back at Gulfstream Park West after having been away since that Preakness. Broke the maiden nicely at Gulfstream Park West finally. And boy, this race we're going to take a look at, it just seems like finally living up to the enthusiasm they may have had earlier in the career. But can Bodie Express put two together like this? Otherwise, Prince Lucky looks interesting. Flowers Felisa, War Story. What are your thoughts on Harlan's Holiday?
Well, I'm a charter member of the Bodie Express fan club. I had picked this horse at the Preakness when I was there, you know, on TV. And, of course, he dumped Johnny at the start. I just think this horse is the one to beat me here. I'm a big fan of it. I mean, we're going to get the test. This might point this horse into the Pegasus a little while down the road. So Bodie Express, I mean, Prince Lucky is out of life, but I think Bodie Express is the one.
Yeah, it's certainly off that last race looked very good over at Gulfstream Park West. So we'll get a little we'll get potentially some validation today one way or the other about that one. But it's a nice way to wrap up the stakes competition this afternoon at Gulfstream, which, again, championship meet under day, and this is the kind of day that we'll be looking forward to throughout the championship meet. And as you mentioned, Pegasus around the corner, and after last week in Maximum Security, and with those folks kind of talking, hey, Pegasus potentially and some of the other names that are being floated around, you have to be looking forward to that day as well.
Absolutely. It's one of the most exciting days here, along with the Florida Derby.
And hopefully a game plan for us to go down and cover as we normally do, so we're looking forward to it also. Ron, as always, we appreciate the visit, the thoughts. We wish you and everybody good luck this afternoon. Oh, I didn't ask. What's your weather look like today?
Oh, fast and firm, beautiful day here in South Florida, so it looks like it's going to be a fun day of racing.
That's what we like, because at this time of year, we live vicariously through watching all the action down there at Gulfstream. Ron, again, thanks a lot. We'll talk again.
You got it.
All right, we will head to a break. When we come back, we'll be joined by our friend Dave Grenig. We'll shift our attention to a little bit of Aqueduct. Nice stakes for the New York Stallion Series this afternoon, and also wanted to get his thoughts going back last week on Cigar Mile Day. So all of that right after this. Stay tuned.
Where's the best place to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you where's the best sports bar in the capital region, tell them Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Come on.
I want sales reports on my desk by Monday.
Whoops. My bad.
Love racing? RTN brings you every live simulcast on your home television, plus live video streaming and race replays on your PC and mobile devices. To order, visit RTN.tv. RTN, a breed apart.
Here in upstate New York, no one provides bettors with more wagering options than Capital OTB. Our network of branch and easy bet locations stretches from the mid-Hudson Valley all the way to the Canadian border and west to central New York. So whether you need to place a bet, fund your Capital Bets account, or watch the next big race, all the action is just around the corner. A full list of our branch and Easy Bet locations can be found online at CapitalOTB.com. Capital OTB, the better and most convenient choice for wagering in upstate New York.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. As promised before the break, joined now by Dave Grenig, the New York correspondent for the Daily Racing Form. Dave, good morning.
Good morning, Seth. How are you doing?
Very good. We'll talk a little today, and I also wanted to get some thoughts going back to last week as well. But before we talk about the Stallion Series stake for this afternoon, give us a little update on the weather down there.
It's rained for a long time. Our track will be sloppy. It's not raining currently, but there is a chance for more rain this afternoon. So I would, it's not going to get any drier, I don't think, than what it is right now. Right now it's sealed and sloppy and gray and miserable.
You know, speaking,
but it's warm. It's warm. It's 50 degrees.
Oh, well, that's a bonus. Speaking of weather, though, top of the show, I was doing some news and I brought up your article talking about the hand, a fall meet handle at Aqueduct. And I said, there is no better example of how important weather is in this game, because it was so wet last year and we lost so many turf races. And then the weather this year improved, obviously, but that led to a 50% increase in all sources handle.
Yeah, we're kind of a perfect storm of no storm, being able to get 86 grass races run. And also, there was an issue at Laurel that they couldn't use their turf course for most of the time that we were here at Aqueduct. So you got an influx of shippers, A, and you also have horses that might have shipped out of New York to go down there, B. So the field size was good in the grass racing. And look, grass racing has become quite prominent. It's an increase. The fields are larger on turf than they are on dirt, and larger fields lead to larger handle. As you said, there was no better example of that than the Aqueduct fall meet. So, you can't do anything about that in the wintertime, but the fall, it's hit or miss. And even Saratoga sometimes, a couple of years ago, we had a really bad year weather-wise after we had three great years. So weather is it's a key component to any outdoor business.
Yeah, and as I say, no better example than the numbers put up that Aqueduct fall meet. All right, let's go to this afternoon, New York Stallion Series, $500,000 up for grabs. They're going to go 7 furlongs. A field of 14 entered in here. I put Dream Bigger on top myself. We're going to go back and look at the notebook. This is November 17th at Aqueduct. Dream Bigger is going to be the number 7 horse. This was the second win in 4 starts with a couple of second place finishes. Broke the maiden and subsequently went up to Finger Lakes. And broke the maiden at Finger Lakes. Let me put it that way. Two second place finishes. Went up to Finger Lakes in the New York Breeders' Futurity. Broke the maiden in that stake and followed up with this nice win. So this is a horse in good form right now. We'll leave from the 13. Captain Bombastic, I think, is interesting for Jeremiah. Bank on Shea for Jason Service. I will mention Eddie Epps. I had lunch at Eddie F's a few days after Chowder won, and they were all lamenting they hadn't bet more on that horse with the $29 mutual. But Chowder comes in off the maiden breaker with local owners in tow. Munaki for Jeremiah and the coach, August Dawn Farm, Bill Parcells. I think it's a really fun, intriguing race with talented horses and a big field. What are your thoughts on the New York Stallion today?
Well, first, we'll just take out one horse, the 7, It's a Risk. One of the two Jason Service horses is a scratch. He didn't have much of a chance anyway, coming out of a 25 claimer, maiden claimer at Delaware. So the one good thing is it moves some of that horses outside in a little bit. Of the horses that you didn't mention, I would definitely want to take a look at the 12 Giant Shoes, primarily because his maiden victory came on a track that's going to look exactly like it is today, Sloppy Steel Racetrack. He actually showed some good speed out of the gate, and then he kind of dropped back steadily like he thought, well, he's not enjoying this at all. Javier Castellano, who was on him on that particular day, guides him to the outside, and he comes in stretch 7 wide, and he goes by There were 11 in the field. I think he was second to last at the top of the stretch. They went by 9 horses in the lane. You just wonder, it was an off-the-turf race. Were those horses meant for the turf? Are they any, you know, how good are they? And coming out of a maiden, just one start, how good can he be? But I think he'll get the proper pace. It's just a matter of whether he can step in out of one start and get the job done. His biggest advantage is he knows he likes a field sloppy aqueduct track. Dream Bigger, the horse to beat. Who would have thought that on August 8th, fifth race on August 8th, Tis-the-Law would have won it. Dream Bigger, who was favored off over Tis-the-Law, was second. And one wins a $500,000 race, and the other is favored for a different $500,000 race. I don't know that that's what we thought was going to happen on that day. As you mentioned, Dream Bigger, after finishing second time, goes up and breaks maiden in a stakes race by 10. The Notebook was an interesting race, I guess, from the standpoint of it looked like he was going to win off for fun, and then it looked like he got a little bit tired late and got, you know, held on by a length and a quarter. Talked to Rudy Rodriguez about that, and he said, look, we weren't necessarily planning to run in that race. We were going to go from the Breeders' Futurity right to this particular race today, and we just kind of threw this one in at the last minute. So we didn't have him totally fit. So that race should hopefully move him forward. I just wonder if he wants 7 furlongs. Obviously the Breeders' Futurity could have won at any distance, but it looks like he could be part of the pace, of which there could be a lot of pace. So the horse that I would, the horses I'm between are the 12 Giant Shoes and the 10 Bank on Shea, who was third to Dream Bigger in the Notebook. That was his first start off a 3-month layoff. Maybe 4, if my math is not great, 4-month layoff. And I think he should move forward. And who's hotter in the country right now than Jason Serres? I think he won 9 stakes races in a period of about 8 days, obviously concluding with last week's sweep of the Cigar Mile and the Fall Highway.
Captain Bombastic is interesting to me, too. But I just wonder, beat the stablemate, the barnmate, Cleon Jones, in the Sleepy Hollow. Cleon Jones kind of clunked in the Remsen last week, running 7th. But again, it was the Remsen as opposed to State Bred Company.
Yeah, the thing with Captain Bombastic is, at least he showed he can go a distance of ground. He won 6.5. Then he won at a mile, and now he's cutting back to 7/8, which is good. He also shows some good workouts here at Aqueduct. Bullet Works after that race. The interesting thing, though, is Jeremiah did something that you thought would work out, make some logical sense, that, he's mostly based at Belmont, but he shipped a bunch of horses over to Aqueduct for mostly the horses that were going to run in stakes, and he thought by getting them, training over at Aqueduct, it would help, and it didn't. He didn't have a very good Aqueduct fall meeting. I think he won just 2 races, and the horses that competed in the stakes were just awful. So I don't know what to make of Captain Bombastic. On paper, he looks like he fits. He'll have to deal with the wet track for the first time, as most of these horses will have to. He does show versatility. He came from 4 lengths off the pace in the maiden. He was pressing the pace in the Sleepy Hollow. He's definitely a contender here, but just gnawing at me in the back of my mind that, a lot of Jeremiah's horses just haven't performed well here in stakes races at Aqueduct.
Again, interesting addition to this New York Stallion Series with now a field of 12 with, as you say, the scratch. 13 with the scratch of the number 7. It's a Risk. So an interesting addition. You mentioned the debut effort from Dream Bigger, where he finished 2nd behind Tis the Law. Did you do any follow-up with Barclay after the Kentucky Jockey Club? And I'm wondering your opinion on that race, because I've talked to people over the past couple of weeks, and my thought is, if you were on the Tis the Law bandwagon, I think he maybe got a good education out of that. There was a point in the stretch where you kind of felt like he should have gone on by and maybe didn't. But, boy, he was stuck in traffic, and then there was a small hole, and eventually he went through 2 turns for the first time and off-track traffic. As I say, for folks who are on the bandwagon, I would look at that as a good education for Tis the Law.
I agree. I would not jump off. If you like the horse going in, you can't not like the horse coming out. He got boxed in a little bit on the inside, but everyone talks about wanting to save ground. He did. He had more than one rider on the horse. He had one, the one on his back and the one and the target that was there. He had a lot of riders riding him as well. If he had gone 4 wide like Silver Prospector did, and then Silver Prospector cuts, saves ground, splits horses, and gets up, then why did he go so wide? So I had no issues with the ride. It didn't work out, but he saved all the ground. He got a great education. Probably, seemed hesitant to go through. He's still learning. He's a big baby even. He's just like a young kid. He's a kid. Yeah. And hopefully the maturity catches up to him. He catches up mentally. And I just think I think it's full steam ahead. I have no issues with that horse. He did not regress. He's moving forward.
Yeah, that's my takeaways from it as well. All right, let's get some takeaways. Speaking of that, from last weekend, big weekend down at Aqueduct. First, the Cigar Mile. Watch the replay. You know, it's interesting. I hadn't thought about it until last Saturday morning, and I started saying, gee, Maximum Security, you know, solidifies a three-year-old Eclipse with a win in the Cigar Mile. But I started to think, you know what? Spun to Run with a win in the race becomes a entrant into that conversation potentially with a Breeders' Cup win and a Cigar Mile. So I had kind of not picked up on Spun to Run being in that conversation, but as it comes down the stretch, it's those two as we watch. Spun to Run and Maximum Security, number six Spun to Run, number five Maximum Security around the turn and into the lane. It looked like they may face off. That's not quite the way it worked out as Maximum Security pulls away in the stretch. Spun to Run second. And a horse I thought was interesting at a price, True Timber, 32-1, gets up for third in there. But Maximum Security solidifies his claim to that three-year-old crown. And I saw your follow-up article. You had talked to Jason Service the next day, and he was kind of recounting, and you did in the article, just what a year it's been and what a trip. I mean, clearly we all know about the disqualification in the Kentucky Derby, but folks may have forgotten, you know, missed a lot of the summer and early fall with colic and had some problems there. So to come back and put in the nice victory in the Bold Ruler and then put this exclamation point on it, it was quite a year for Maximum Security.
It was. You know, it starts off 6 days from now. It'll be exactly a year, I believe. I think it's December 20th where he breaks maiden for maiden 16th, and nobody's actually thinking about him this time last year. And a year later, we're talking about him as the likely three-year-old champion. And yes, I think people need to be reminded that this horse was in a clinic, just 3 months ago. He had colic. He had tripped the park on the Monday before the Pennsylvania Derby, entered, you know, had his little training session, workout, whatever you want to call it, ships back to Monmouth. Jason Service makes the entry. He's probably on the phone ride back from Parks to Monmouth. And then 3 hours later, he gets a call from his, day watchman says, hey, this horse is in trouble. And they got him to the clinic. And, you know, Jason thought they were going to have to operate. And luckily, they didn't. But he was going to miss he obviously missed the Pennsylvania Derby. He was going to miss the Breeders' Cup and some of the major races. But they got him back for a good two-race fall campaign where he faced presumably older horses, although obviously in the Cigar Mile, the horse to beat was the three-year-old Spun to Run. I thought it was a tremendous performance by Maximum Security and one worthy of a championship. This was a classic. We're going to put these two fast horses in the gate, and we're going to try for the lead. We're going to run 1 mile and see who's the fastest horse. And in this particular case, it was Maximum Security. And when he switched leads at turning for home, he just ran away from Spun to Run. And, you know, talk to Irad Ortiz, the rider Spun to Run after the race. He was like, I tried to make the leap. I tried that horse. That horse was just faster than my horse today. And Spun to Run had come into the race, as you say, in great form, coming off a Breeders' Cup win where he beat another highly regarded three-year-old in Omaha Beach. And, you know, I think Maximum Security completed a year that, is worthy of a championship.
And they say Pegasus potentially?
That's what they're talking about. Now, there's going to be some changes to the Pegasus. They haven't been quite announced just yet, but it's not going to be your $9 million, pay $500,000 to get in. There's going to be changes that should be announced pretty soon. They should have already been announced, but that's the plan, and why not? No matter what the race is, it's going to be the richest race of the winter, and he's 4-4 at Gulfstream Park, so you might as well go for that spot. He's still relatively fresh, having only run twice since July, so there's no reason not to go on with it for the Pegasus. It makes all the sense in the world.
All right, let's move on to the Remsen, get some thoughts on the two-year-olds. I think between the two two-year-old races, the Philly race was much more enticing as far as what to look for next year. Although, who knows, Shotsky may turn out to be nice, and certainly I think he flattered that street sense again from Churchill back at the end of October. We're going to watch the stretch run. It will be number six, Shotsky, at 8-1. The favorite, Alpha 66, the number eight horse, winds up sixth in the field. Of nine, that one, the Pletcher runner. So that one disappointed a little bit, coming out of a sixth place finish in the Champagne. But again, Shotsky wins, had come out of the street sense in the previous race, had run fourth. Silver Prospector was third in that street sense and subsequently won the Kentucky Jockey Club. So again, flatters that race at Churchill in October. Shotsky gets it done. And as I say, this may be a horse on the up and come and improving buyer numbers coming into the race. Now a nice grade two on the resume as well. Your thoughts on the Remsen results?
Yeah, you know the thing about this horse is he tries. He's still learning as well. If you watch the street sense, it looked like he's going to give it up at the head of the lane. He's going to retreat and be seventh or eighth or worse. And then that horse, Silver Prospector, comes up inside of him, and he sort of gets re-energized and re-rallies again. And yeah, he didn't finish as well as Silver Prospector did, but he got beat third and fourth. But it turned out to be a key race. He does show, he showed you some speed. He showed the ability to go to the front and keep going. The track kind of got real speed favoring for the latter half. The beginning of the day looked like it was going to be a very fair racetrack, and then the last five races or six races were all won in front running fashion. So I don't know what to make of that. The Remsen just hasn't been a harbinger of things to come for three, 2 year olds turning three. So yeah, he's got the mile and eighth race under his belt. And he's got 10 qualifying points for the Derby, but he's going to have to show more and do more and make a step forward to get into the upper echelon of the division, I think.
As I say, the more interesting of the 2 two-year-old races was the Demoiselle, because this is now, with two results last weekend and going back to the Breeders' Cup, this is a division that's turning out to be a lot of fun. I think Bast tossing in another grade one win out on the West Coast became very interesting, but so did Lake Avenue and the Demoiselle. The number 12 horse here, 12 horse on the outside, a couple of scratches, moved into the 10 post position, but at a mile and an eighth, still at a disadvantage down at Aqueduct, but gets right to the lead and takes him all the way around under Junior Alvarado after that phenomenal maiden breaker back in the middle of November. So she's now 2 for 3 for Godolphin and Bill Mott, and again, looking like a very interesting potential three-year-old filly as well.
Well, the first thing that stands out about Lake Avenue is the pedigree. She's by Tappet out at 7th Street, so they're both grade one winners. So that's in her stead. And then, as you mentioned, she won her maiden, although she only ran against three other horses that day, and she did crush them by 12. You needed to sort of see something again to validate that, and you did, because she didn't have a great start. She kind of bobbled a little bit coming out of the gate and hopped or whatever, hopped, lunged, bobbled, whatever word you want to use. And then she still had enough speed to clear the field going around, into and around the turn. She could have easily had gotten hung out around 7 wide. And she kept going again. The horse winning on a track that was favoring that front running style. I think you need to give some credit to the runner up. I know she got beat 4 lengths, but Maydeen, who had won the Nashua, yeah. I'm sorry, the tented very impressively here 4 weeks earlier. Coming back, coming from out of it to show some gameness to get second by a neck over Blaine Debbie. I think both those two bear watching moving forward, and they're both headed to Florida. They are already in Florida. And we'll take that route there. But I think the thing that strikes you about both those horses, though, is that they do want the distances. There's no question in my mind that Lake Avenue wants a mile and an eighth, and maybe even further when you get back up your way next year, that summer. And Maydeen also looks like she wants the distance. So the times on these races are slow. The track was slow. I don't know what to make of that. But I do think you have two promising three-year-old filly prospects in Lake Avenue and Maydeen, no question about it.
Let me hit on one other two-year-old and see if still on track. New Year's Day stake, the Jerome, kicks off the three-year-old season in New York. Trombetta still aimed with Independence Hall?
I believe that's the plan. I think he had a solid work earlier this week at Fair Hill. I think they were looking at using... just coming back in a race and rarely do you get these two-year-olds/three get to do the same thing twice. And I think that might have played a role in it. The big win in the Nashua was a one-turn mile at Aqueduct, and then, such a big race, they didn't want to come back to the Remsen. But they get to do the one-turn mile again at Aqueduct, and I think that's a good step in progression, progression of a two-year-old about to turn three. It'll be New Year's Day, so I guess it'll be three. And it'll be a good starting ground, and then you can sort of go to Florida if you want to train them there and pick your spots. Because once you're going, there's going to be a race every weekend. If you can come back here, you could go to Tampa, like Trombetta had success last year with Win Win Win. You could take the Florida, the Gulfstream route, Fairgrounds. There will be a race after New Year's Day for any time you want, for sure.
Yeah, he certainly looked good in that last race, so he's a promising two-year-old, soon to turn three-year-old as well. Dave, before we let you go, I wanted to hit on a couple of articles. And again, Dave covers New York racing for the Racing Forum. You can find, obviously, his articles in the hard copy, but online as well. Should remind people, for folks who may not be aware, about a month ago or so, the articles went free. So you can go and check out Dave's work online anytime. But I wanted to hit on, again, a couple of news pieces that you had that came out recently. And the one that kind of shocked me, and I would imagine shocked most people who read it, Kieran McLaughlin, who will not have a string in New York this winter. And according to your article, he's not sure if he's coming back.
No, you know, one of the biggest issues in facing New York racing right now is the labor board, federal and state, have come in the last couple of years. I know it's sort of came a little bit of a revelation to most people in the summer when they put out a press release regarding Chad Brown, but he's not the only one that was under scrutiny. Most of the people back there, and Kieran got fined a hefty amount, $300,000, and I don't think he felt it was fair. And, you know, between that and the high cost of doing business in New York, whether it's the workers' comp or just the feed or shipping or whatever, I think it's sort of gotten, you know, broke his spirit a little bit. So he always goes to Florida for the winter. Usually he leaves, you know, at least 15, 20 here in New York, but he's not going to do that this year. He'll be out by early to mid-January. And then he's got some thinking to do. Will he go to Churchill where the purses are high, you know, continue to soar and the workers and the expense to live and work is cheaper? Would you go to Jersey? Does he come back to New York? And I think a lot of it will be dictated on what his clients want him to do. But for the first time in many winters, he will not have a presence here once you get past early January. And, you wonder if people are watching, his colleagues are watching to see where he goes and how he does and thinking, you know what, this might be a good move. We have more people leaving New York than coming into New York, and it's a very scary situation.
Yeah, that was kind of my takeaway. And as I read and read his comments where, as you say, he complained it was unfair, it was interesting to read that there are different rules in the different counties that the tracks are in New York, and so it makes it kind of onerous to follow the rules and regs, as hard as you may be trying to do it. And so I found that interesting and, as I say, surprising as well. Wanted to touch on one other article before we let you go. On a more positive note, Eric Cancel, the jockey, seemed over the past couple of weeks get on a little bit of a hot streak, and it's notable because he has a new agent, P.J. Campo, taking his book. And I found it interesting in your article. I didn't even realize this was a thing. But his agent prior, I think, also had Ricardo Santana, if I'm not mistaken, but is based out of town. So his agent normally wasn't in New York. As I say, I didn't even know that was a thing. So just having your agent on the grounds, I think, has to help you out on a day-to-day basis.
It absolutely does, because you go to a draw, and I don't attend all the draws, but I go to draws sometimes for the stakes races, and you hear the other races being drawn, and somebody will have a double call. And, you know, if you're not there, you don't know, you know, if somebody's going to need a rider. If you're not at the draw, if you're the agent, you're not at the draw, you don't know that. So you have to, you know, but if PJ's there, he can call someone and say, hey, you named Franco, but Franco's going to ride for Chad, so can I pick up your horse? And, you know, all these agents do that all the time, and you can pick up some winners at the meet, at the draw. So having someone on the grounds is key. Look, PJ knows every aspect of the game. He's had relationships with these trainers here for many years. Even some of these guys go to Florida, they come back to New York, and they're New York based. So PJ has good contacts. Cancel's a pretty talented rider, especially this time of year. He's going to fit perfectly with the group. And you know, when a jock gets on a roll, people notice it. Look at Jose Lascano. Lascano was down and, you know, was left for, I don't want to say left for dead, but he was down and out. And he stayed here last year and built his business back up. And he's one of the, you know, he got good business toward that he kept out throughout the year. And so I can see the same thing happening. If he gets on a roll and continues it through the winter and the spring, when people come back and they're looking for riders, DJ's phone will be ringing and, he'll have some business for the summer too.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to watch on this winter meet, as they say. Is on a little bit of a roll and maybe tied into PJ taking the book now. Dave, as always, appreciate the visit. Appreciate the conversation. Again, we'll tell people to swing by the Daily Racing Forum online and read your work, and we will talk again.
Sounds good, Seth. Have a good holiday to you and your listeners and viewers.
Same to you. Dave Grenig from the Daily Racing Forum. Again, nice New York Sire Stake this afternoon. There's also one tomorrow on the girls' side, so keep that in mind. A little bit earlier, we talked about the nice stakes action down at Gulfstream Park with Ron Nicoletti, so that'll also be here on the network this afternoon. I will be back in, I'm guessing, an hour and 15 or so with, I believe it's a 12:30 post today for Aqueduct. And Yes, I'm being told it is. So, yeah, about an hour and 15 or so, I will be back with OTB Live, and we'll take a look at some of that great action at Aqueduct, Gulfstream, and beyond. Tomorrow, again, 16 races at Woodbine. If you're a Woodbine fan, you will have your fill tomorrow. The Remington Springboard Mile also tomorrow. And, again, we'll talk more about this on the show tomorrow as well. But some nice action today across the country. We will touch on much of it this afternoon on OTB Live. Certainly appreciate your tuning in this morning. Do want to remind you, there is a $100 Winabet contest available today online. Check out capitalotb.com for more information. Click on the tourney bets link. Give yourself a shot at one of the tourneys. If you haven't tried it yet, as I say, you have to think maybe a little bit differently. It may hone your handicapping skills, give you a fresh look at things. Click on the tourney bets link, capitalotb.com. And tomorrow, swing by the racebook to enjoy all the football action and all the racing action throughout the NFL season on Sundays here at the racebook, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. As always, we appreciate your tuning in. Good luck this afternoon. We'll see you in about an hour and a half.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.